So what we call Easter Sunday is really the culmination of 3 days, now the fourth day, but 3 days that we've been celebrating and walking with the Lord. We sort of anticipated last Sunday, if you were here for Palm Sunday, the Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But then on Thursday night, we gathered here in the upper room with Jesus, and he washed our feet, and he gave us the Eucharist for the first time. Then we walk with him through the church, as symbolizing that walk they made after the Last Supper across the Kidron Valley and into the Garden of Gethsemane. And then the Lord was in agony, and we stayed here, and we had an altar, a beautiful altar set, and we prayed with him while he was in agony in the garden. At midnight, he was arrested. Good Friday, 6 a.m. on trial. 9 a.m. led out. By 12 o'clock, nailed to the cross, and died at 3. And we gathered in this church at 3. And the church was quite full that day for choral stations. And everything went quiet and still until last night about 8 o'clock. We lit a fire outside and we came in. But about 9:30, after listening to lots of good readings from God's Word, all of a sudden the lights came on and the roof blew off the place, and the Lord stepped out of the tomb. And we sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those of goodwill." Amen, church. He is risen. He stepped out of the tomb. And so today, if the choir looks a little bleary-eyed, I'm not ever bleary-eyed, but if any of them look a little tired, that's because we were up kind of late last night. But the Lord should be praised. Amen. And if getting to those triduum, those three-day services, are not really something you've traditionally done, I'd encourage you to think about it in years to come. All of this is really meant to be seen together. The passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus are all really meant to be seen together. Today, I'm announcing to you this great mystery and this great glory, but also a very mysterious thing, that Jesus Christ stepped out of the tomb is empty, he is alive. And now he has ascended and is at the Father's right hand. But, you know, I think most of us, we know the cross pretty well. Anyone with me on that? Come on, we know the cross. We all know about suffering. But when I say to you that there is glory and there is life, resurrection, this is something we don't know quite as well. Why is that? Well, first of all, we live in paradise lost. You know, Adam and Eve had paradise, but they wanted a better deal. And God even told them, he said, the other way is through suffering and death, and they still wanted this, quote, better deal. Well, welcome to the better deal. Suffering and death. We live in a world that is paradise lost. There are beautiful things, but life can be very hard. Life can be very difficult. And I don't know if any of you came today and you brought with you some situations or some sorrows or some sins. We all know the cross. It's harder to make this journey to the resurrection. And so it is that today my task is to show you how these early apostles and disciples made a journey, and we need to make that journey with them. You know, the Gospels are very forgiving in the sense that they don't simply present that they snapped their fingers and suddenly everything was magically, they got it and everything was clear from the start. It wasn't. All these gospel accounts of the resurrection that we read all have show how the early apostles, even after they'd seen Jesus alive, still had to kind of get their mind around it and to figure this all out. And there's a journey to make. And I'm going to tell you, it's a lifelong journey. A journey to really understand what it means to rise from the dead with Jesus. St. Paul says in Romans 6 that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. And by baptism, we were buried with him. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might live a new and a more glorious life. Now, I want to stand before you as a witness today and say, that is becoming more and more evident for me. living a new and a more glorious life. I'll talk about that more in a moment, but I hope I'm not the only one here who doesn't also know what that means. Amen. And that the Lord has led us a mighty long way. If you've been faithful and you're praying and you're receiving sacraments, the Lord begins a work and we journey ever more deeply into the glorious mystery and beauty of the resurrection from the dead. But let's look at particularly John's journey. We'll talk a little bit about Mary Magdalene here as well at the beginning, but let's look at John the Apostle and the journey that he made. And let's also see that it's our journey. So if you sometimes struggle to understand resurrection, the scripture has a word for you today. And at first it may not all make sense, but keep making the journey and let the Lord show you what it means. So we begin and we'll look at, if you will, John's journey in four stages. And the first stage is what I'm going to call reaction mode. Now, as the gospel opens, it's really about Mary Magdalene. It says here, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark. Now, first of all, it says the first day of the week. Now, a lot of folks think that we're in something called the weekend. Church, pay attention. This is the first day of the week. Amen? Sunday is always the first day of the week. We don't give God the end of things. We give God the beginning of things. But so it is for them. This was, they called the first day of the week. For us, we call it Sunday. And it says that Mary came to the tomb. Notice this now. Early in the morning. And it's still dark. Now, John's not looking at his watch. John's not just simply telling time for us. John is describing what we all have sometimes had to experience in life. That sometimes, early in the morning, we're trying to wake up. Maybe we've had some haunting dreams. I know I'm certainly not at my best early in the morning. God love all of you folks that love the early morning. I'm not one of them. I think, how can I get up and pray at an unholy hour? But sometimes, those especially who are struggling or going through things, maybe they've had some difficulties in the night and trying to wake up, and there's those haunting and sometimes dark feelings. And it's early in the morning, and it says it's still dark. Again, that's not just about how much photons are in the light in the atmosphere. It's about not being able to see. And sometimes we all struggle to see beyond the darkness, to see beyond the bad dreams that we might have had early in the morning. And there are at times in our life those difficult and dreary moments, dark moments where we struggle to see the light and to see beyond. It's dark, and things don't make sense. So Mary is coming to the tomb, and just a day and a half before, a horrifying experience of seeing the Jesus she loved tortured to death. His flesh ripped from him like ribbons in the scourging, nailed to a cross, and he died. All that darkness. It's early in the morning. It's dark. And she can't see. And so she comes. And she sees, it says here, that the stone had been removed from the tomb. Now, brothers and sisters, you and I know the story, but she's not quite there yet. And she thinks, what more could they not do to my Jesus? They nailed him to a cross. They killed him. And now they've stolen the body. And she goes into a panic. She goes into what I'm going to call reaction mode. Now look, you and I know she's looking at evidence of the resurrection. But that's not how she sees it. She sees only a deeper darkness. She sees only another terrible assault on the Jesus she loves. One more disaster after everything else has happened. That's what she sees. But church, remember, it's dark. is early in the morning. And some of us need to learn how to get past a cup of coffee, shake off the dust, and let a little light come on in, and we start to see things a little better. And so it is, Mary has a journey to make. But pay attention, because we all do this. We call it rash judgments, right? Something happens and we immediately judge, and we tend to judge things negatively more than positively. Pay attention, though. She's looking at evidence of the resurrection, but she can't see it yet. And very often, you and I. You know, the Lord in our life will sometimes indicate, look, he says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, he said, I want you to have confidence. I've overcome the world. But still, when the tribulations come, we don't hear that second part. All we see is the tribulation. And so it is that sometimes life brings difficulties to us. And instead of reflecting as a man or a woman of faith, that sometimes when the Lord closes one door, he opens another. That sometimes when he says no here, he says yes here. That sometimes the Lord has to allow some difficult and painful moments so that something new can come to birth. Now but you see, what happens is we're not in that mode. We're just reacting to the negativity that's in our life. And that's what we call reaction mode. And an awful lot of people struggle to get past it. So let's continue and follow this journey, though. We do see that Mary now runs. She's in reaction mode. She's running, and she runs. It says here, so she went to Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, by the way, who is this other disciple that Jesus loves? Well, it's John historically, but you notice he's not named. Now, why? Listen, pay attention now. He's not named because if you're prepared to accept it, you are the disciple whom Jesus loves. You're the one. And you're making this journey. This is not about people who lived 2,000 years ago. It's about you. It's about me. So Mary comes running to Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and says this, they have taken my Jesus from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. Now listen, you don't take the Lord and put him anywhere. But you see, she's thinking of a corpse, isn't she? She has no idea he's alive. And I'm going to tell you right now, an awful lot of Christians are like that. They have no idea that they're serving a living God, and they can call on him. And so it is, you see, she's in this reaction mode. But now she comes to John and Peter, and first thing happens to them, they go right into the same reaction mode. She's in a panic, so they're in a panic, and they're running. But here's where things start to change. John begins to move, or you, the beloved disciple, begin to move into recovery mode, what I'm going to call recovery mode. It says here that they both ran to the tomb. But the other disciple, that's you, starts to run faster and get to the tomb first. It says that he bent down and he saw the burial cloths, but he didn't go in. Now look, John is running a little faster. He starts to outrun Peter. You say, well, that's got to do with age. Maybe so, but John is not looking at a clock. He's not looking at a calendar. He's not looking at any of that stuff. He wants you to see something. Something is happening to John as he runs to the tomb, and something ought to be happening to you when you come out of reaction mode and you start to recover your sense that comes to you from your faith. And notice, I'm going to interpret it for you by reading Isaiah in the 40th chapter. And here's what Isaiah says. And this explains John beginning to run faster and faster. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings of eagles. They will run, but not grow weary. They will walk, but not be faint. Those who hope in the Lord. As John is running, I'm going to tell you, I think it starts to occur to John. He's a man of hope now. The Lord had said, in 3 days, I'm going to rise. Just wait till Sunday morning. Oh, I'm going to rise. Now, all of them seem to have forgotten this. Mary's forgotten it. Everyone's forgotten. But I think as he starts to run, John says, wait a minute. Didn't he say? She said there's an empty tomb? Well, didn't Jesus say he'd rise on the third day? Let me see here now. Now he is looking at his watch. This is the third day. Maybe, just maybe. He starts to run faster and faster. The hope starts to build. And he runs, but he's not weary. He's soaring like on wings of an eagle. And he gets to the tomb first. This is what I would call recovery mode. Now listen, if you are deeply rooted in the Word of God, I want you to know something. God's made you some promises. And he's a promise keeper. And you need to hold on to those promises. He didn't say we wouldn't have tribulation. Jesus says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but have confidence. I've overcome this world. Now I'm going to get some of those CDs. We sold out of them a couple years ago, but I'm going to restock. There's a beautiful CD that I listen to a lot. It's called 500 Promises in Scripture to Those Who Believe. That's a lot of promises. You got to get with the Word of God to get out of reaction mode and panic mode and begin to understand that the Lord has made you and me some promises if we're faithful. He doesn't say no tribulation, but he does say at the end, if you're faithful, glory and joy unspeakable. And John is running, and he starts to think. He did say on the third day, and he starts to run faster. Let's call this going from reaction mode to recovery mode. And now then we go to the next stage, reassessment mode. It says something here that when Simon Peter arrived, he and John now, you and Peter can now go into the tomb. And what do they see? They saw the burial cloth lying there, and the cloth that had covered his face, not there, but carefully folded or rolled up and put in a separate place. Now, this is one of these texts that you really got to know a little bit of Greek to understand, or at least know somebody who knows a little Greek, because it doesn't come out very well in English. But what the Greek text is saying is, as they look in, now, first of all, you need to know that when they wrapped bodies, they took this long winding cloth and they wound it around the limbs, and around each limb, and then around each leg, and then they wrapped the whole body. So this is a body that's wrapped tight. Are you praying with me? And in order to get out of that stuff, you got to unravel everything, and everything's got to be piled up. That's not what they see. They see the burial cloths, and the Greek text says it says that the cloths are kimai, which means lying there stretched out. In other words, what it's describing, if you want a picture, is there had been a body all tightly wrapped that just vanished, and the cloths fell right in place. They are still all wrapped and everything as if there were a body. A body ain't there, and all the cloths just fell right in place and are lying there stretched out. And then the most precious cloth that if there were grave robbers, they would first of all want to take with them is the sudarium, the face cloth, a beautiful linen cloth that covered the face. But instead of it being gone, it's all carefully folded or rolled up and laid off to the side. Church, are you praying with me? This is not grave robbers. This is not they took my Jesus and I don't know where they put him. You don't take the Lord and you don't put him anywhere. The Lord has risen and all those clothes just fell right in place. And that's what John sees. So he's reassessing. We're going to call this now. He started out in reaction mode. And then he goes into recovery, and because of this recovery, because he's reflecting on the Lord's promises, he starts to reassess what's really going on. How about you? You know, there are difficulties in life. And you know, you can just head toward depression, discouragement, and despair. But if you move out of reaction mode, and you recover yourself, and you reflect on God's promises, you start to reassess. And the Bible says that every one of our sufferings produce for us a glory way out of comparison to the suffering. We begin to reassess our life, and that our sufferings are not meaningless, that they produce glory for us, as St. Paul teaches all throughout his epistles. Brothers and sisters, are you maturing as a Christian so that you can move out of simple reaction mode and panic mode? Are you beginning to recover yourself based on the Word of God so that you begin to reassess life and what your life is really about? And that leads then finally, John, to John coming to this last mode, which is what I'm going to call resurrection mode. He moves again. He started out in reaction mode, panicked, running, thinking grave robbers and the worst. And then as he runs, he reflects. He begins to recover himself. He begins to reassess. And finally says this, with all that having taken place, he moves into resurrection mode. It says here, then the other disciple, not named, historically John, but you, me. Then the other disciple went in, who had also arrived at the tomb first. He saw and believed. He saw, he hasn't seen Jesus yet. And see how precious this text is for you and me? Because most of us, with our earthly eyes, have not yet seen Jesus. Now, I've seen him with the eyes of faith. I want you to know when I pray, I've seen the Lord. But I'm going to say not with these earthly eyes. So this is a very precious text. John has not yet seen the risen Lord, but he does believe. He's alive. He's risen. Are you praying with me? And he saw and he believed. But then the text says this. But remember, they didn't yet fully understand the scriptures that said he had to rise from the dead. In other words, John hasn't connected all the dots. He doesn't know the full significance of this yet. And neither do you, neither do I. You see how beautiful the scripture is? How reassuring. We don't always have our mind around everything. We don't comprehend everything. We haven't connected every dot. There's still a journey that we have to make to understand more deeply and richly this resurrection mystery today. But the Lord is working in our life. And you let the Lord keep working in your life, because John has made a journey that I hope you're making and I know I'm making. Coming out of that reaction mode, panicking and seeing all kinds of negativity, coming out of that, recovering myself, if you will, just coming out of that reaction mode and going into the recovery mode, so that I begin to reassess and I begin to live my life more in resurrection mode, where I simply see, and even if there's difficulties and pains, I believe and I know the Lord is risen from the dead. And I know my life is being changed. And again, I'm going to just witness and testify, and then I'm done. Church, I hope you're living in resurrection mode, because if you are, you're going to start to see your life becoming more alive. I'm 53, almost 54 now. I am more alive at 53 than I ever was at 33 or 23 or 13. There's also more of me, but I'm going to say, church, I'm more confident, I'm more serene, I'm less anxious. I used to be so anxious about so many things, reaction mode, reaction, reaction. Now, the Lord's led me away from so much anxiety, so much fear. I love people more, I love God more, I love to pray, I love His Word. I've been so blessed by the Lord. My heart and my mind are coming alive. I have better priorities. And I can't wait to one day leave this world and go home and see God. Now, I'm not suicidal. I'm just saying I'm making a journey, and I'm not hanging on to all kinds of stuff. And I love my life. I love my life because of what the Lord is doing for me. So, church, this is what it means to go out of reaction mode, to begin, if you will, to recover our senses based on God's Word. You know, the media wants you and me to be in a panic about everything. And then you turn on the ad and they say, you know, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you're not tall enough, you're not thin enough, you're not panic, fear. just always inciting fear. Come out of this reaction mode. Start to recover yourself based on God's word. Start to reassess what your life is really all about and start to experience new and more glorious and deeper life. It is a promise that the Lord makes. Now, all I know is that God's got a plan, and that plan is Jesus. And if you want this to happen, it's not just going to happen because I'm not just giving you a psychological pep talk this morning. I'm telling you what, I can't boast. Jesus did all that for me, and I'm not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. I got a long way to go, but he'll do it. And God has a plan for this to happen, so we come out of all this negativity and into resurrection glory. He's got a plan, and that plan has a name, Jesus. Jesus.